welcome everybody to Heroes Asylum issue 77. We want to thank all of our inmates, Padawans, and of course the Asylumites, as Kane likes to call them. How you doing?
Yes,
Kane,
they are the Asylumites, not the Padawans.
Padawans. They're Padawans, not Padawans.
The Padawans?
Padawan. You're podcasting. Padawans.
Oh, like, okay. So Padawans instead of Padawans. Okay.
There you go. Yep.
I'm just making sure. Shit on me. How you doing there, sir?
I'm doing just fine. So, guys, yeah, we're here again once again for our another weekly in review. We're going to run down all the rumors, the news, just kind of whatever came across our news feed, social media, whatever your poison is for catching some news. So yeah, we're gonna check those out. And let me change that around. There we go. Sorry, had a light blaring right at my face.
It's okay.
So all right, guys. So we're gonna get started. Guys, make sure you do check out a Midnight Movie this week. We did have a special guest. Actually, this one won't be out for 2 weeks, so not this Wednesday. This Wednesday is going to be our follow-up, the sequel to The Crow, but the week after should be American Gangster. We had a special guest, not our normal guest that we've had in the past, but a different guest.
So he will be back on. Definitely. For future Midnight Movies stuff. So hopefully other people will start joining as well. I'm going to start publicing it out on the Facebook page. And, you know, it's not hard to join. All you really need is just a phone. So that's it.
Phone, computer.
Yeah, it's just not hard. I mean, you don't need all the fancy equipment that we got.
Yeah.
Don't be intimidated and don't be afraid, because normally when you do Midnight Movies, I'll be honest, you guys, I'm sending you, let you know a little secret. Barely talk about the movie.
Every once in a while, there might be a really good movie that we're just so involved in. But really, it's like last night, I think we got so far off a track of the movie. I think we were like 40 minutes and I was like, wait, I'm so lost. And I had never seen the movie before. So I was like, I got to rewatch it just to see what we missed, because I was kind of lost towards the middle and towards the end.
Yeah, but still a good watch, though, and still definitely a good listen to if you guys check it out in 2 weeks with our special guests. So.
Yes, very good. So this week, some sad news coming from Hollywood, the geekdoms. Actually, more geekdom than anything. This week, we lost Grant Imahara, host of Mythbusters and White Rabbit Project. Died at 49, man. Just a few years, above us. I mean, that's
scary.
Don't think we had any news of brain aneurysm is what it says. He just suddenly from a brain aneurysm. But yeah, I mean, it's just heartbreaking, especially for like the Discovery family. And he was also a big family with the Lucasfilms. He was a big one on the, I think it was the Force Awakens. And also I think some of the prequels he was working on as well.
Yeah, he was a decent pillar in the nerd community. I know that. I saw like a lot of pictures on Instagram of him like saying, rest in peace. Apparently he was a really good dude. So it's always sad to hear when we lose good people, because there's not enough good people in this world. And when you lose one, it sucks.
Yeah. He had 9 years at Lucasfilm. He worked with THX, ILM. He was with George during the prequels. So we had that. He was also Matrix Reloaded, Matrix Revolutions, Galaxy Quest, XXX, Van Helsing, Lost World, AI. I mean, some great films that we all know and love. Definitely like Kane was saying, pillar in the geek community. Also, if anybody remembers the BattleBots from Comedy Central, those were always fun. So yeah, definitely we want to put a shout out to him and his family. We're also met with the loss of another member of the geek community this week. Was for Star Trek actor and for Kane here, Doctor Who, Maurice Rovis dies at 83. He was a 1984 Doctor episode, The Caves of Anzoni. He was opposite the fifth Doctor.
That was Tom Baker. Was it Tom Baker?
No, Peter Davison.
Peter Davison. Yeah. Okay.
He was also in the sixth season episode of Star Trek Next Generation. He was a Romulan captain in The Chase. Tutti Frutti, it was a BBC show. Last of the Mohicans he played in. He was also included in the role in the Judge Dredd movie opposite Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, yeah, that great Judge Dredd movie.
Yes, yeah, actually, the movie we watched last night had a member from that cast as well.
Oh, yes, it did.
But, yeah, so definitely, again, not a, I won't say he's a well-known actor in the community, but he's he's definitely found a career and some love in the geek community. I mean, to be able to cross over to two of the biggest sci-fi franchises ever, you know, definitely. And he also played opposite of Alec Guinness in Macbeth when they were doing it at the Royal Court in London. I don't know what the year is on that one, but. But definitely, you know, another person in our community.
Yeah, one of those true English thespian type theater actors, and you know, longevity. Of course, he was gonna act for a while. All those actors around that era, like the Ian McKellens and the Alec Guinnesses, they always seem to have extended careers. So,
And a lot of them seem to. I mean, they drift over into the. To the sci-fi community, because oddly enough, most people think, oh, sci-fi is geeky, you know, and just for children. But when you actually sit down and look at some of the stories and a lot of the plots and what they're trying to cut across in their stories are very, very Shakespearean in nature.
Exactly.
Very classical artists. You know, when you see a lot of these classically trained artists and actors crossing over, I mean, Patrick Stewart's a huge one. You see, and he's like, he probably thought it was just a job and a paycheck till he actually sat down and saw what, especially, you know, Gene Roddenberry was writing about, you know, the change in the world and the change in the universe that we as humans can do if we get over ourselves and stop thinking just simply of ourselves. But those are, you know, and again, those are things that, you know, Shakespeare was writing about and some of the classics, you know, plays and literature. So, yeah, there's a lot more to just sci-fi than just the spaceships and the laser beams.
Yeah, and if you read, I think you can concur with this, Lucas, you know, his hardest pitch was to Alec Guinness to get him on Star Wars, and he had to sell him on the fact of Star Wars being almost like a space opera.
Yeah.
And Shakespearean. So that's how Alec Guinness got aboard. Everybody else was on board, but because, you know, they were like starving actors. But this guy, Alec Guinness, you got to remember, he had like top billing in this movie. So people don't remember that. He was the main guy.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So.
Yep. Then our next one will be the one you brought to me last night. I completely missed, but Mantis co-star, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air actress. This came from Deadline for Galen Gorgic. She was also in RoboCop 2. So she passed away just one day away from her birthday. So that was, you know, that was probably a harsh one for a family. But actually, once you brought it to me, to my attention, and I actually did some research on her, I remembered her in Mantis. You let off with RoboCop 2, and I'm like, man, I haven't seen RoboCop 2 in so long. I couldn't tell you what it was. But again, you know, she's had other areas, you know, Twin Peaks, A Different World, you know, Star Trek Voyager, again, another Star Trek alum. So definitely, you know, somebody that will definitely be missed.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. Like I said, I remember her being that lab assistant in Mantis. I think that was the one thing that got you, because her role in RoboCop 2 was basically as the girlfriend to that young punk kid who was selling drugs in the street. I remember that. And,
Once I saw the picture of her, I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, I remember you now.
Mm-hmm.
So those are three passings in the community.
But before you go forward.
Oh, did I miss one?
Yeah, you missed one. Actually, it's the 2-year anniversary of a certain death. That was brought to my attention just recently. I saw on my Instagram.
Actually, I made a comment on one of the posts. I didn't think about mentioning it.
Well, I think we should always mention his death every year. And that is the late, great John Schnepp. 2 years ago, we lost him. And you talk about a pillar, the King of the Sweaties. I think that they nicknamed him. This iteration of this podcast would have never come to be if it really wasn't for his influence.
Yeah.
Yep. So, you know. Big band of bag of winners, you would say to him and his family and all his friends out there who are celebrating his life right now.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, I got a chance to meet him. Unfortunately, I wasn't aware of who he was. I knew who he was from you, but that's all I knew was a name, and I need to get a signature from this gentleman.
And I got it.
Yeah, real nice guy. When we were sat there talking, he just wanted to talk. And even as we were talking, he's like, hey, you want to walk with me to my panel? And, you know, again, I didn't know who he was. So at that moment, I was like, yeah, no, go ahead. You know, the thought of me missing out on that opportunity just so I should be able to chat with him through Comic-Con and to his panel and be able to at least, you know, I probably would have, you know, if I would have walked all the way to the panel, most likely would have stayed there and gotten to learn a lot. You know, you got an awesome video from one of our behind the scenes comrades.
Still have that video to this day. And I might repost it on the page.
Yeah, I definitely would. I was surprised. Yeah. When I read about it, I was like, I'll bet you that video will pop up here shortly.
Oh, it will. It'll definitely pop up. It's a very interesting shout out he has to me. But yeah, look for that later on, guys.
Yeah, because we definitely told him all about you.
Oh, I know.
All right. So first news, kind of that this one sort of popped in today, was about Wonder Woman 1984. There is a tie-in novel that's going to be released. And part of that tie-in explains the one big question we had when we watched the trailer. How did Steve Trevor come back? And there is a moment in this that talks about that there is a stone that they come across and that you the holder can make one wish, and she makes the wish of bringing back Steve. And of course, you know from all sorts of stories and any trope that's out there, if you have a wish like that and the one person you want comes back, something's got to take, you know, there's with that thing of somebody coming back, somebody has to leave. So I believe there's definitely going to be that. Yeah, it's the Dream Stone is imbued with a magical power like the Lasso of Truth and can supposedly grant one wish. And Diane's wish is obviously to bring back Steve. And so there should be some interesting ties with that. We'll see it at the Smithsonian in 1984. I was actually going to the Smithsonian in the summer of 84. Maybe I'll be in the background waving.
Maybe, yeah. They could CGI you in there.
Yeah, let's hope. But yeah, so that's something interesting. But what do you think about
The Dream Stone? That doesn't sound familiar for any kind of DC construct. I thought it was the Rock of Eternity. I thought that's what they were going with, but
yeah, this is a book marketed towards 8 to 12 year old readers.
Oh, okay.
So maybe the naming is a little different, but according to the book,
it's the Dream Stone.
Yeah.
I guess that's the only way you're going to bring him back and explain it.
So. Yeah. I mean, I didn't know if you had any other explanation that you might thought of.
I was thinking Rock of Eternity. That's what I thought. Like maybe that she touched the Rock of Eternity and then somehow the Rock read her mind subconsciously and then he came back. That's kind of along the same thing of the Dream Stone, but just, a little bit more, a little bit more, not as kiddie, I would say.
Right. All right.
I dream for you to come back, Steve. I don't know if that's how it's going to happen, but.
I'm sure she's not going to say the words. I think it'll just happen. It'll go into her emotions and maybe why she's in the Smithsonian. She comes across an old picture of Steve, in some archive, and that's now he becomes on her mind. And then that's just where the world runs at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, if we ever get to see this movie. So
again, I'm sure they're going to be coming out. I know Disney's releasing a couple of movies, not their high budget movies, but they're releasing a couple of movies on Disney Plus during their slated original drop time. And the one and only something, or I read it real fast. I didn't recognize the movie. I just kind of brushed over it, but yeah, they're dropping that. So, I mean, most likely you're probably, if we're looking at theater shutdowns for the rest of the year, to get their money back, they're going to have to release it somewhere, somehow, and that's going to be the best way.
I think you just release it online and let us rent it or something.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah,
do it $8.99, or even you can even charge $10. I'd buy it.
Yeah, I mean, I'd spend $20. I mean, to me, it's about going to see the movie. I'm spending $20, but it's part of it. Yeah, is the experience of being in the theater, but if that theater experience is gone, drop it down a little bit. I don't know. I think that would be the best way for the movie theaters to get their money, or not theaters, the movie companies,
the studios, to get their money back.
The theaters are get their money from from the concessions, which they're just going to have to. What they're doing now is another news article I had here that I think it's Amstar I know of is running $100 for 20 people to come in. And you can rent a theater for I think it's between like 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. I think is the time.
That's a dude. That is a bargain. I would do that in a heartbeat.
Where is it? Here it is. This is my. Yeah, I was going to save this to later, but it sort of came up. But that's the wrong one. Sorry.
I don't think we have any Amark theaters around here.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, Lake Mary. Okay. Yeah, there it is. Yeah, because that's the friend of ours, co-friend of ours that brought it up to me about going was like, she's like, oh no, it's in Lake Mary. And I'm like, oh okay. And yeah, so I have it up here on the screen. Private screenings, $100. Get your private screening. They're saying that 20 people from 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. daily, 7 days Advance Notice, maximum 20 people, like I just said.
And can you name the movie, or they're just going to play
whatever?
There's
a list. I know you can't see it from where you're at, but right now it's Aquaman, Batman, Shazam, Superman, and Wonder Woman in the superhero range.
Ooh.
You got your family favorites from Trolls, Shrek, Abominable, Minions, Despicable, all the Despicable movies, the pet movies, Sing, Kung Fu Panda. Then you got classic comedies. Ferris Bueller, Liar Liar, Big Lebowski, Smokey the Bandit, 40-year-old version. I mean, a lot of good classic ones. Pretty much anything you're going to find on DVD or streaming, but you're going to be able to go see it. All the Harry Potter ones, which I think that would be cool to go back and see those.
Yeah, that's... you can make money off those right there.
Back on the big screen, they're talking E.T., Jaws, Beverly Hill Cops, Crocodile, Forrest Gump, all the Indiana Jones, all the Back to the Futures. When they were talking about wanting to, like the group we were talking to was talking about going to the Back to the Future.
That's a good one.
Then they got a Girls' Night Out, all the Shades, Bridesmaids, then a bunch of old school musicals. And for you guys, if anybody's here watching this, you can see it. Yeah, definitely Louisiana, Alabama, Texas, Florida, Mississippi, Georgia. So a lot of the southern states, I guess. AmStar is mostly southern, but that's where you can find those at. So, I mean, that's a cool idea. You get a theater, you know, the theater's at least 100 seater to 50. So you bring 20 people in. Pretty much everybody can have their own row. If you're still like a little leery about sitting with a group of friends, you can scatter yourself and be that 6 feet difference, wear your mask, whatever, but still be able to be in a public environment, going to the theater, being with your friends, because you guys can, now you got the whole theater, you can yell at each other, be dipshits, you know, like we were at what was it, Captain America Civil War? Is that the one where it was the seven or eight of us and nobody else?
Nobody else.
Which is awesome, because we had a friend, our friend Kelly, she was in the theater right next to us.
It was that theater packed. That was sold out, I believe.
Yeah,
wasn't
she
it?
Was in the sold out theater, and I posted on Facebook, "Hey, we got the whole theater to ourselves." And she's like, "Where are you at?" I go, "We're right next to you." I was like, "Why don't you come over? I mean, I don't think anybody's going to miss you over there."
Nope.
But yeah, you know, bring whoever you came with, and just come over to our area. Nobody's in here.
That's a good idea, though.
Yeah, like I said, I think it's
rent the theater out, get your friends.
Well, they've always had the theaters have always had the convention rentals. I've never asked or seen how much those are, where you can rent it out and do a convention in there and have the big screen and everything. So it is kind of cool. I mean, if things lighten up to that point, I would love to do something like that, but to do it with the midnight movie.
Oh my gosh.
You know,
can you imagine?
I can bring in a couple of condenser microphones, just chill out. A big thing is just not recording the movie, but you know, just to have everybody in there would be fun.
Yeah, that's a plan.
Yep,
moving forward.
All right, so what do you have? I'm sorry, I know I stepped.
Oh
on
no,
your toes.
It's okay. I was fascinated by that story. So, Avengers Endgame director Joel Anthony Russo said that their Secret Wars film would be the biggest MCU film ever. Now it's just a rumor stage, basically, but they've talked about doing Secret Wars probably since they've been on the red carpet for Endgame and Infinity War. Kevin Feige says that the next 5 years are already planned out, so he didn't say yes, but he didn't say no neither. So
that's
one of the biggie ones. That's one of the granddaddies of Secret Wars. So
it's one of those things we're not going to see it. We're not even going to see the intro.
No, we're not going to see that years. Probably for
a decade, easy.
I would say at least 10 years.
I mean, you already got the next 5 years planned out. Hopefully, at some point, those will introduce at least the Fantastic Four and X Men. But then you got to build them up. So that's going to take at least a couple of years. And then you enter into the Secret Wars to do it right. I mean, unless they're going to do like they did with Age of Ultron or Civil War and just name it Secret Wars, but not be Secret Wars.
Oh, yeah.
You know, again, that's going to irk a lot of people like the other two did. I mean, thankfully, the other two movies were so amazing that we weren't upset that wasn't the Infinity Stone or the Infinity Saga that we knew from the comic books. That wasn't the Age of Ultron that we knew from the comic books, and that wasn't Civil War we knew from the comic books. They were still great movies.
Just in name only, but in story not completely different. I mean, it's literally night and day. Some elements are in there, Civil War, like basically had Spider-Man being, I mean, Black Panther being Spider-Man through that whole film. So in the comics, it's totally different. So
it's completely different. So, but again, I mean, of course, they're going to toot their own horns. Yes, ours is going to be bigger and better. Oh, so, but we'll see. Time will tell. It's you've got to hold the general public's attention for these movies. We're all here. We're waiting, but the general public may lose their interest. And then, of course, you know, the thing that's going on now with people not going out to the theaters as much. You got to look at the big budget movies might not be as cost effective anymore. So you got to look
or they could just pull that budget back and, you know, just, you know, combine their resources, you know, because a lot of these movies, except for a couple of them, they really don't need, like, do you really think a Batman movie needs to be $220 million?
No, but again, it's everything that they're doing. Again, they're not doing the Batman that you and I have always talked and we want to see. We want to see that detective. That detective does not need to be a big budget movie. That can be a very low budget, no special effects. He doesn't need a special cool car to do all these sorts of things. Yes, give him a car. Definitely give him some sort of thing. He doesn't need a bat wing or anything like that, but make it more of a true crime noir detective story. And I think even your general public with a good crime noir story will
they'd
be all
on board
for
it. Yeah.
We'll have fun. Yes, it's not the big boom bang, hey, action pack, fisticuffs flying that they're used to, but give them something they're not used to. I mean, one of the big ones is just left my head the horror Superman.
Brightburn.
Thank you. Right. Yeah. I started with a B, damn it. But that's superhero, but it's not superhero at all. You look at the last one that we just got on Netflix, the
Old Guard.
Yeah, the Old Guard. Again, comic book based movie, not a superhero movie, not a big budget. It's very low keyed. I'll even throw it out there. A lot of people didn't like it because it wasn't there. It wasn't their Hellboy, but the last Hellboy movie, that was a low budget one as well.
I liked
it, and I liked it too because it was more truer to the comic book than what everybody saw. But everybody was so used to you know their Hellboy and seeing Ron Perlman there, which I get. It took me a little bit to let that go, and once I released it, I was good with myself. So.
Yeah, I think I took your recommendation. That was, you were like, it's not the Hellboy you think, but it's the Hellboy that you want. And I think that's an accurate assessment because it's like one of those underrated movies. I think years from now, people are going to be like, that Hellboy movie wasn't that bad. It's kind of like, I think it'll end up being like Dread was. Dread was like in the theaters. Nobody saw it, but when they left the theaters, people saw it. Now it is beloved. And now they're talking about making Mega City One, which may or may not happen.
Yeah, that would be great. But yeah, it kind of falls under the same area. Star Wars. We had a friend of ours booked ready to go for her birthday to go out and check out the celebration out in Anaheim this year. And, of course, got canceled. But just like everybody else is doing, they're doing a Force Fest virtual Star Wars convention. And that is happening the same weekend that the Anaheim convention was supposed to take place. That's going to be August 28th through the 30th. So it will be virtual. They're going to have, I don't know if how much they have a fan community, including Skywalker Through Neverland, Tatooine Sons, Chatter Squadron, Around the Galaxy, a whole bunch of other events they're going to be doing. They're going to have to get everybody joined up for that. It's going to be gone through Make-A-Wish. So there's some promotion for, I guess, when they do announce what the ticket sales are going to be. Hopefully not too much. I mean, it is online.
Yeah, it can't be that much.
But it looks as though that is the route that they're going to go. So they're following suit with Comic-Con and with DC fandom this year in going virtual, which I think is great. So keep your eyes and ears peeled as to what it is. Look for the Force Fest, not the coolest looking logo, I gotta say.
Not the greatest logo in the world, but hey, you know.
But definitely,
they probably just put that together like last year. Like, let's just throw this up there.
Yeah, let's people know what we're doing. This did come from StarWars.com, so this is legit. Just so everybody knows, I know on my page up here, I don't have where it came from, but yeah, this did come from StarWars.com. So we couldn't make it for celebration this year. We haven't gone in a couple of years. And I know our poor friend, she's really upset because she was hoping to hit not just the convention, but she was also hoping to hit Disneyland out there because she's a Disney nut.
Oh yeah, just a little bit.
She's a Mouseketeer.
She's a big she literally has ears too.
Yeah, she does. But so yeah, guys, definitely something to look forward to. I can't wait to see that. I mean, I'm so stoked. We have Comic-Con. We've got DC Fandom, now Force Fest. I have a podcast convention online I'm going to in August as well. It's just August is just going to be great.
Yeah, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Comic-Con begins this week.
This
coming week?
Yeah,
Thursday. Yeah, mm-hmm. So it'll be a very busy week.
Yep. So hopefully we'll have some stuff out there for you guys to check out.
Definitely, most definitely. I guess I go next. Yeah. Did you know that James McAvoy wants to play another version of Patrick Stewart? This time he wants to play a young Picard in a Star Trek project. Patrick Stewart has played numerous iconic characters, but none more notable than Jean-Luc Picard. And now James McAvoy recently talked with CBL Access, and he says he wouldn't mind playing a younger version of Picard. And why not? I don't know if they'll do it. I mean, I this is basically an actor saying he wants a job. So, wow, big news.
That's a lot. Well, this really wasn't. This was actually somebody asked him the question about it, and he said,
"Oh, yes. Was it okay?" CBS Access.
It was during they were asking. Said he'd be take. I will take you where you were. No Star Trek fan would have gone before. It was somebody was asking him a question. Now the problem is when I read this article, I had to do some research.
Uh-oh.
You know, he is literally 6 years younger than when Patrick Stewart started on Next Generation.
Really?
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah, Patrick Stewart started, I think, when he was 47 and McAvoy's 41. So I don't know how much younger he really wants to go.
Yeah,
I know he's a great actor and he can play young, but I don't know how young he thinks he can play. But yeah, when you look at the age, again, a movie we watched last night, the two actors were father and son and they were 8 years apart. I was like, I have to check this out and see what is his actual age? Because I've always heard people trying to play the younger version of somebody and they're literally like. Like most people, they forget about Ewan McGregor. He's actually, I think he's at the same age or older than Alec Guinness was.
Yeah, he's a little bit older.
So it's like, but when you look at him, doesn't look it.
No, take care of themselves. I mean, genetics.
Well, genetics and our lovely health system now is a little bit better than they were back then.
Just a little bit better, you know. Fitness is key, man. Makes you look young. But I thought that'd be interesting, but I don't think it's going to happen, just him saying it. But it's just a fun to theorize about it. I mean, I think it'd be cool. I think he could pull it off. I mean, he did it in X-Men, so why couldn't he do it in Star Trek?
It's finding something for Star Trek. I mean, Picard has a pretty lengthy background already. I don't know much more that they could show. They showed his Academy years during the Next Generation series. We've gotten a lot of flashbacks and things of that nature. I'm not sure what much more we're going to see.
Yeah. Now we have robot Picard.
Yeah. So. Now we got robot Picard. If anything, wants to play like flashback Picard, but again, the technology is there to de-age Patrick Stewart. Mm. So it's a great idea, but not sure what he can do. Like I said, when you really sit down and you watch the bulk of Next Generation, a lot of Picard's youth in his early years before he became captain was covered. You know, the death of a Crusher, you know, Beverly Crusher and Wesley Crusher's husband, father, you know, that's in there. We saw that. We saw the Pegasus, I think it was his first to second command.
I believe I think his second.
Sure. And then, of course, we see, you know, when he gets stabbed when he was younger into the heart. And so, I mean, we saw so much of it. I just don't know if there's anything left to show.
Just go forward with Robot Picard.
Yeah.
That's all you can do.
Yeah. We'll see what more they can do with that.
Yeah, well.
Let's see. Next, Star Trek, or Star Trek, shit. Star Wars.
Yeah.
Rumors coming down. Hayden Christensen, rumored to finally return to the Star Wars for Disney Plus show for the Obi-Wan show that they are still working on. Of course, again, everything is still working, so I guess we just don't need to say it. But the Obi-Wan show that is in up and coming. And hopefully I'd see some, I'd sure be great to see some flashbacks. We don't need to see him in the Vader suit. But you know, it looks like he will reprise his role as Anakin. It doesn't say Vader, so it says Anakin, making his Star Wars. Okay, that's just talking about how he came in. But just hasn't nothing more about it. Just the Obi-Wan show, he'll be there. So I'm sure we'll probably see flashbacks, maybe like further adventures I mean, I would love it to have it where, like, Obi-Wan, you know, a few times Obi-Wan's just sitting there poking at a fire in the middle of the desert, and then he just, like, gets his flashback, has, you know, war flashbacks and suffers from PTSD, you know, and starts reliving, you know, old Clone War battles.
That might be the case. I mean, it's a good thing you specify that it's going to be as Anakin, not Vader, because
it's then what it says. I'm just reading what the wording is.
I know. I'm just saying, like, because if it said Vader, then one of my theories was going to come true, and I was going to say, you know what, just listen to a couple podcasts back, like 20 issues back, and you can hear me say that if they did make it a Obi-Wan series, I thought that Vader would be in it because of a particular line that I talked about in New Hope. I mean, it's a very small line, but you could always use that wiggle room to make it in there. So
yeah, we've already
it's a good thing
talk.
It's specified as adding.
I think that's a silly idea.
I'm just saying. I mean,
I know you're just saying, but I just
it's a little wiggle room that you could do it.
Yeah, I hope they don't. If they do, I would be very disappointed.
And you'd be very angry too.
Well, disappointment goes with anger. Oh, anger goes with hate. No, sorry. And so, what do you have next?
On the path of the dark side. Hey, 20 years ago, a movie came out that basically established a modern superhero comic movie of the era. That movie, of course, was the first X-Men movie, directed by Bryan Singer. Recently, Singer got a couple of the cast members got together. I guess you were telling about this video chat. Stewart and everybody else is on there. Jackman. They were talking about other things. But yeah, 20 years ago, that movie came out and basically opened the doors for everything that we have now. You look at it, it's a little dated in the movies, you know, black leather suits and all that. But, you know, I remember when they were actually constructing that movie, and I used to buy Wizard Magazine back in the day. And they would have these behind the scenes shots. And one of the first shots you saw was basically Bryan Singer going like this, angling like that at the camera. And he was angling the Magneto helmet. And I'm like, oh, this is really going to happen, huh? Then a year later, the movie was released. And, you know, for what it was, I dug it. I mean, I thought X2 is far superior. Of course, you know, you make the sequels are always going to be a little bit better, a little bit glitzier. But, 20 years ago, X-Men.
Yep. And literally, I mean, that was the longest running superhero movie franchise. Because if you look, I mean, it literally just ended last year.
Yeah.
So, you know, 19 years it was running. And so, and we don't know what's happening. And we don't know if that's going to be part of it, because Disney has now taken over Fox, and it has dropped in. Disney Plus has dropped in an X-Men movie.
Mm.
Days of Future Past, not the rest of them.
Nope,
only Days of Future Past, which I thought was very interesting to see which one they dropped in there. Same thing with the Fantastic Four. They only dropped in the last Fantastic Four that came out,
not Jessica Alba.
Rudy
Caitmar one.
Yeah,
and,
that's one. Yeah. And yeah, so those are the two that they dropped from the Fox library so far. Hmm. So I was very interested to see that. I wouldn't count this as the rebirth of the comic book movies. To me, it was Blade, and Blade came out before this.
Mm-hmm.
But this was the start of the Blade was the entry for Marvel. This was the introduction of, hey, there's more Marvel to come. Mm-hmm. I think this one, Blade opened up the door. X-Men kicked open the door and said, hey, now we're coming in now too. So I think it's a good mix, but yeah, it's great to see you 20 years.
Yeah. But without X-Men, we don't even have Batman Begins. Christopher Nolan's even said it. He's like, hey, man, this movie, my movie doesn't happen without X-Men.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah, no, definitely. I can.
It's not only just Marvel. It was DC, too.
I'm just talking about the Marvel movie idea.
Oh, yeah.
Well, because you've got to realize Marvel Spider-Man hadn't even come out yet.
No.
So when you talk about big movies, this was DC or Blade was the first. And then you had X-Men. So, yeah, it's like I said. They opened it. Blade opened up the door. X-Men opened it up a lot wider for everybody else. So I'll definitely give them that credit.
Yeah, 20 years ago. It's hard to believe. Yeah.
Going back to Star Wars, had a little team was introduced in the final season, the Clone Wars, that just opened up our minds to what the clones could be and were. If nobody got a chance to watch the final season of Clone Wars, it was broken up into three sections. The first section was the Bad Batch. The next section was the birth of or the return of Ahsoka and trying to find out where she was. And then the final one was just a culmination of everything of Ahsoka, the Bad Batch, the ending of Revenge of the Sith. This all smashed into one big, awesome geek fest. But that first five episodes, I think it was three.
It was three.
No, four. I take it back. Sorry, because they were four. Yeah, it was 12 episodes, four blocks. The first four was about Clone Force 99, and they introduced the this ragtag group of clones, and honestly, they were really they weren't original in any concept. They were basically tropes of every kind of character you could ever think of in any sort of action movie. There was your leader, there was the muscle, there was the tech, and there was the grumbly sniper guy. You know, you could literally go, okay, that guy's Solid Snake, and that guy's, you can just name them all. But Disney is now saying that they are going to start doing a new animated series about the Bad Batch, which I think is going to be great. We don't know what's going on, if they're going to pick up afterwards and follow them from where we left off and see where they go after the Empire, as the Empire rises. Or are we going to see pre them getting together and then becoming the Bad Batch and ending basically with the first episode of Clone Wars season 7?
Rather they go forward.
I hope.
I want them to go forward.
A little bit of both. I want to know where their camaraderie came from.
You could do flashbacks.
Well, I hope they do, because we want to find out, how did Rex know about these guys? Like, what was his experience with them? Because he knew of them. You know, he introduced them to the rest. So I'm kind of interested. I would love to see the back, but I'd also like to see where did they go? What happened as the Empire's rising and the clones and the Republic are failing? Because that is one of the big stories that happens during the Rebels, when you start seeing they run into the old clones and what happened? Where did you guys go? And you're finding out, you know, their concept of it is, well, nobody won the war because the robots lost and we lost because we were put out to pasture. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it would be interesting to see this ragtag guys, you know, basically mercenaries traveling around the world. It'll get what, you know, you really would like is, a little bit, again, just what we're getting in Mandalorian, more out into the unknown, into the outer regions.
No, man, it could be like Suicide Squad in space. That's the way I would compare
basically,
it.
Basically, yeah. I mean, it's
that. That was one of the better things that I saw, was that Bad Batch thing. When you told me about it, I was like, what is the Bad Batch? It sounds stupid. Like, what, Bad Batch of Kids or something? Like, Cash Batch Kids? Then I saw it. I don't know if Filoni or whoever came up with the idea of it, but I love them. I love them. They're all over the place. Like you said, I mean, yeah, they're typical, you know, movie tropes of heroes, a strength guy, smart guy, whatever, and leader. But they were done so well, and they had so much character to them. I'm like, these guys are awesome. Yep. Like, they should make a show of them.
Yeah, I was like you at first. I was like, eh. And then the season went on, then the episodes went on. You know, by the end, I was like, man, I don't want these guys to leave. I want them to
neither
come back.
It's kind of one of those things. In the final season, you think that those first couple four episodes are going to be throwaway, and then you watch it like, oh no, don't go.
Yeah. Well, those first four episodes were already made. Those were the ones that were made during season 6.
Oh, okay.
Were the ones you could find online. You can still find them online, guys. If you want to go look for them on, if you go to YouTube, you can find these online as what they're called, animatics. And basically what they are is those characters like in blocks, and you're seeing the background scene and you're seeing them move. You're not seeing their legs move. You're literally seeing them frozen and just somebody like moving them across the screen. But what's cool is it's the voice actors. The real voice actors are there. It's not some fake voice actors. It's the real ones, but it's them moving, and it's very blocky looking. It's not pretty at all. Not pretty at all. But I remember watching those, and I kind of dug it there. But then once I actually got to see the final product, I loved it even more.
I want to see these guys run into the Mandalorian. That's what I want. I think you have a perfect setup right now with those guys. It'd be cool, like an episode he lands at some planet and they're just there.
Yeah, well, again, you got to think Mandalorian. I mean, how old are they and everything like that?
They're clones, right? They don't really, they age
they
slower?
They age normal. No, you saw Rex. Rex was, you pointed Rex out to me, Return of the Jedi. He was that old
dude. That's right, yeah.
So, and then you got to think this is 4 years after. Mandalorian's 4 years after. So they're old. They're not immortal.
Well, you could have, they have a version of Solid Snake where he's old and Metal Gear. So.
Okay, that's Solid Snake. I just said he looked like Solid Snake, and his age.
I don't know. Now you got Solid Snake.
Well,
in my
he
head
looked
now.
Like it was either Solid Snake or Clint Eastwood. Sorry, he looked like this real great mixture of them.
Honestly, now I got Metal Gear in the head. I keep thinking of Solid Snake, Liquid Snake, and his dad. Or, I don't know.
What, his dad Grumpy Snake?
No, wasn't his dad like the general?
I don't know. I played like
Metal Gear 1. And then
I played Metal Gear 1 or 2, and that was it. That's how.
Okay,
that's
you didn't get like deep into like Patriot game. Okay. Yeah. Okay. We'll check it out.
Yep. All right. So what you got next?
Well, guess what? Hulu released their first images of, and I'm going to say this, and I don't want to sound sad when I say this.
No, you can't. You can't help it. You do it every time. You say it with disgust. In fact, it's not sad. It's disgust. Listen for it, folks. Okay. There'll be a at the end of it when he says it.
So Hulu has released their first episodes of Hailstorm.
Is it Hellstrom? It's Hellstrom.
Hellstrom.
It's not the band. It's Hellstrom.
Can you? I wish it was Hailstorm. Yes, it's Hellstrom. Basically, these two kids, if you haven't seen it, are the son and daughter of a serial killer who's in jail, and they have to investigate supernatural elements that's going around the world, which has nothing to do with the cool comic book, which Hailstorm, who was the son of Satan, which I think is a better idea, and I thought that's what we were getting, but we're getting this adaptation, which, sorry, I'm just not looking forward to. Well, I don't really care about the images. I just had reported. Like, if you're gonna dig this, that's great. But
sorry, I'm showing the images.
You showing the images?
Yep.
They look cool. But you know,
it looks like it'll be good. I mean, it's not what you wanted one, but you got another one. That's on you. That's not on them. That was your fault for assuming that's what they meant.
Well, that's what I read. I mean, I thought they were going to not adapt it totally, but at least keep the premise. Like, hey, he's son of Satan.
No,
cool
you don't.
Idea.
He says they're son of a mysterious and powerful serial killer. That's all we're told.
Yeah, there we go.
That's all we're told. But no, you have to realize this is just a lead-in. They're not going to say, they're the son of Satan. No, they're going to let that linger and go, okay, what is he? Is he... What kind of mystery? That's probably what they're going to start looking at. It's going to be very supernatural-esque, I think, is that they're going to, not only are they going around checking other things out and other mysteries out, they're on the trail of their father. And once they probably find out who their father really is, that's probably where you're going to get that show that you want.
Okay. Now, I have an idea, though. If they do it, I don't think they're going to do it, but they may. If they're going to investigate this Marvel section of the supernatural, want to use some of the supernatural characters.
They may. I don't know how much.
What about Werewolf by Night or Frankenstein or the Invisible Man, the Mummy? You could use those guys.
Well, they may. You got to remember back when they first signed this up, there were a lot of other Hulu, other Marvel shows supposed to be tied in. So they may be still tied in a little bit.
So
I just say, I give this a shot because I know you and in your supernatural realm. I think if you just get over the name and get over your fact that you thought it was something else and sit down and actually watch it, I think you might find something in there that you might like. Because again, everything I'm reading and the idea is that it sounds very supernatural-ish. Supernatural's ending, so this would be great for you to turn around and pick it up. And again, I think what it will turn into is this mystery, powerful serial killer. To me, that breeds mystical. When you say mysterious and powerful, If it was just a regular serial killer, it would just be a mysterious serial killer. So that just leads more into it, and just find out, that they're in, their mother's in an insane asylum. So I'm sure she found out, she'd been boning devil. So I'm sure she's not all healthy about it. So yeah, I think if you give it a chance, I think it might be okay. I know I got to walk you through a couple of things sometimes.
You're probably going to have to walk me through it because, got to walk me off the edge.
Yeah, well, I'm getting ready to push you over the edge here. This month, actually, in a couple of weeks, we will be introduced to Transformers from Netflix. I have been dying to see this since, April, May, March, something like that, when they first dropped the first original trailer. But on top of that, Netflix is also going to talks right now of getting reaction about bringing back the Beast Wars. Now, I know Kane and I are not of the generation that liked Beast Wars because, well, we got the original. We got G1. We were prime in the age of G1. G1 died. Went away. It had to. Went three seasons and it went away. And then a small group of time went by and then the next generation came out and, well, they didn't have G1. The only thing I think was out there was the Japanese stuff, and that wasn't really out there. And that generation was also, unfortunately, the same generation where studios found out about computer animation, and they created these characters. Now, I know your feeling about it. I feel it. It's the reason that they are not fans of what we watch, because they couldn't watch what we watch. They didn't have access like people do now. You can't go into different apps and watch old shows. So they got what they got, and it was a Transformers show, and they enjoyed it. It did tie in loosely to our version of Transformers.
Yeah, loosely.
But again, I think this is great because, again, everybody is getting their chance to see it. We're getting ours again. We're getting G1 on Cybertron. We're seeing the War of Cybertron now in Netflix. And that, again, that's, 2 weeks from now, I think, or a week from now, week and a half from now.
Was it next week?
Is it next week? I thought it was the end of the month. I thought it was the end of July. I thought it was July 31st. I might be wrong. It might be the 24th. I'll have to relook at my date on it.
Yeah, I got to look at that because I thought it came out the same day as Umbrella Academy.
Okay, then maybe it's Friday next, this coming Friday then. But again, we're getting ours. I can definitely see the allure of having that generation because, again, they're in their mid-30s now, and they should get theirs. And they should be treated just like we were treated with Hollywood toying around with their childhood and their memories. So get ready, 90s kids. Your Transformers aren't going to be your Transformers.
Oh boy!
But it's theirs, and I think it's great that they're going to have their chance to get it. I mean, it's
I'm not on board with this. Sorry. I never got into Beast Wars, and I to be honest, I have never met anybody who says, "Hey man, have you ever checked out Beast Wars?" I'm like, no.
Well, you don't really know a lot of Transformer fans, do you?
I don't.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why.
That's probably why.
And if they do, they never mention Beast Force. Even at the Winchester, if I talked about the Transformers, they would say, oh, yeah, G1. I never heard
anybody. Well, that's what everybody knows about because that's what Transformers the movies was based off of. This only had one run, and that was it. And I just, again, this is there. This is
for the. How many seasons was Beast Wars on?
I don't know. Three? What? Four?
Is it three?
I don't know. Hey, we were only three. G1 was only three seasons. You had the first two seasons, the movie, and then the final season after the movie. We didn't go that long either. So it's not about longevity. Transformers in Japan was decades long, but for us here in America, that's all we had. So I think it's great. Let them have it. Guess what? You don't have to watch it. you can sit over there being grumpy all by yourself, old man.
Not my stuff. I don't like it.
That's right. I'm going to be set in my ways. You sound like somebody
else right now.
Hey now.
Just say.
Let's not go down that path.
All right. So what do you got next?
Hey, did you know the devil's back?
Yes, I heard about
that. He's back, man. He's back.
I heard he's got two kids, and there's going to be a show about him. I like how that came back around.
Very well done. This is for season 5 trailer dropped. It's going to be on Netflix August 21st, which, damn, I mean, trailer for a month out of it. And okay, I thought you were going to drop in 2 weeks, but hey, I can wait till August 21st. The trailer shows the King of Hell is coming back, or is he? The trailer dropped a couple interesting nuggets, and you find out in this trailer that the death's not exactly Lucifer, but his twin brother, Michael. Guess what? We're going to have another battle between Michael and Lucifer. It's happening again. It happened in Supernatural. It happened in that TV show Dominion. And we're doing it again. But this time, they're twins. And I believe in the Neil Gaiman novels, this Michael's based on the character. I think I talked to you about this. Is Michael Dimagos. He's an archangel. He is the twin brother of Lucifer. And in the Gaiman versions of the novels, things don't work out too well for him. He ends up throwing Lucifer out of hell. That's one of his big stories, but some tragedy happens to him, and I don't know how they're gonna do it, but
like we talked about, I think it's everything's been loosely based off of the Neil Gaiman. It's not a blow for blow translation, so I think we're gonna get the same thing. We're going to get that Michael, just in this world, more toned down, more commercialized. And so I think we're going to see that. Yes, he is going to be the one that threw Lucifer out. He is going to be that Michael. And there probably will be a twist for Lucifer to come back. The article I read about it was also threw out recommended read. And that was for Lucifer Omnibus Volume 1 to make sure to read that and tie in. So, that, I mean, because that's where all this took place.
Oh, really? You got to send me that link then.
Yep.
because I didn't even see that one.
So yeah, it's definitely they're saying say hello to Prince of Hell 2.0 for Lucifer season 5 trailer, and that's what they talk about is like make sure you do read the omnibus for volume 1. So again, like I said, nothing's going to be direct
saying that, I'm just wondering which direction are they going to go with.
I wouldn't even wonder about it. I would just assume. Okay. To me personally, the way that show's been run and done, I just would assume just automatically that's just the route they're going to go.
Now, the one thing I will give them credit for, because we're doing the whole twin thing again. It's just been done to death, like in movies and soap operas. Like, look at this, and his twin is alive. Like, it's been done to death.
Yep, it's a trope, yeah.
Okay, it's a trope. But I will say this. That when he's Michael, he has a little bit of different mannerisms. Like he doesn't talk with that British accent, which I got to give him credits in the English, the regular American accent. And his posture is a little bit different too. And if you look closely in the trailer, his wings are gray. They're not white. So slight little nods to make a little bit of a difference. Even like they had that one shot where they're going to fight each other. You see him kind of hunched like this and Lucifer stands more upright. So it's just slight little touches that maybe this thing could work out, because I'm not a big fan of the twin trope at all, except for twins with Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's a masterpiece. But I think it'll work. So
very good. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I finally got caught up, and once I saw this, I was like, okay, this is cool. And this is the normal time frame. You were like, oh, it's a month away. Yes, usually how Netflix goes. They drop it, and then a month later, it's coming out, because they always pre-plan their months ahead. So yeah, that's all they're doing. They're saying, hey, next month that's what you're gonna get. Like I said, when we got the Transformers trailer earlier, we were talking about that. Yeah, that was supposed to be a month late. Actually, that was actually 2 months later. We were supposed to get it, and then the lockdown happened, and then they pushed it back further and further, which made no sense because everything I knew, they were done with it. So. Next one I have is Mandalorian star Giancarlo Esposito is possibly joining MCU as Dr. Doom, which I was interested in. I think he's done a great job on Mandalorian. I know his role is very, very small, but everything else I've seen him in has been looking really good.
Yeah, I was actually talking to you about him being Mr. Freeze. That's one of those race changes that I wouldn't mind. Like he's such a good actor that he can really do anything, but Doom wouldn't be a bad choice neither. I could see him as Victor Von Doom. I could see him ruling a country in Latveria and all that. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, just...
He's a phenomenal actor. I mean, he's playing this... Who's he playing in Mandalorian? John Gideon or something?
No, Moff. Moff Gideon. He's one of one of the former Moffs. He's also in Boys Season 2. He's also going to be coming back as the main antagonist, or one of the antagonists in there. Far Cry 6. This guy plays baddie. He's pretty good. And especially the Moff character. The Moff character was really, when I saw Doom and how Moff is presented as this better than you kind of character, that to me reminds me of Doom. He is always a little, I'm better than you. My raising was better than you. I'm smarter. I'm stronger than you. So I definitely could see those coming around. But yeah,
you know who you described? Sounds a little bit like Khan, a little bit. Slightly like Khan. Khan had that complex too, where he came from the superior society, where he thought
he was Khan was superior in just genetics. So
But he also presented himself like that too. Even in the old school TV series, when Kirk first meets him, like he talks, "I am," I forgot his whole name. It's a whole big name. This is my name. This is where I come from. I come from this family, and he was very, very intelligent the way he speaks. And then Moff Gideon looks like he's going to be that character as well, especially with that Darksaber. So.
Yeah. Well, the Khan from Star Trek, the original one, yeah, that he wasn't that way. No, he was genetic. So the one you're talking about was the more recent one where he was from a uppity family. So yeah, it's different versions of Khan.
You sure? I thought they were about the same, because they come from like this superior race.
No, the race gene. Yeah, they were genetically created soldiers.
Oh, okay.
In the original one, they were genetically created soldiers, and that's what they were there for. They were there to kick ass and take names, and they were just put away when they weren't needed anymore. Yeah, the whole backstory to that one is a very interesting point, the fact you brought up Picard earlier, it's brought up about Picard, about when they with the synthetics and how they turned their back, and they were going to turn off all the synthetics. They kind of did the same thing with these clones, and the not yeah, clones but these genetic right.
Okay.
So yeah, it's all very very interesting in backstory when you look at what, you know, Star Trek did with those. But yeah, I could definitely see Esposito picking up Marvel. He's already part of the family with working with MCU. So, you know, a switch over, basically don't go to this studio today. Go to that studio over there and, you know, go to that room. And
yeah. Put this hood on real quick.
And again, just everything he's done. And I can't wait to see him in The Boys season two also. I mean, that's, you know, that's another one. I didn't realize he was in The Boys season two.
Neither did I. Then I saw him in the trailer. He's there with a ex-Supernatural alum, Jim Beavers, in there too.
Yep. So definitely something to look forward to. More to come from Esposito.
Yes, sir.
And what do you got next?
I'm done.
I had my five. Oh, my God. No, you are not.
Well, did I have more?
You had one more you were supposed to do, sir.
That's all I have. I'm looking at my Evernote. Sorry, guys. I have my Evernote up here.
All right, fine. Keanu Reeves is launching.
Oh, that's right.
Goodness.
He's launching a comic book. I've seen that. With a character that looks very eerily like him.
It's basically, it is him. It is. It's Matt Kindit and Alessandro Vitti are doing Berserker, and which follows an immortal warrior in search of answers about his existence. So, whoa. Yeah, very, very much. Yeah, the folks, if you see the picture here, that is Keanu. If you're not sure,
it's John Wick. It's the guy from Cyberpunk. It's all wrapped up in one.
Yeah,
it's Ted. Come on, man.
It's him and a beard and long hair, just like he is. It's a short series, 12 issue miniseries.
In October, right?
October 5th. Just says October out on October 20th or October 2020 or 2020 is all it says. It doesn't give a date.
No, hopefully they don't push that one back either.
Yeah, well, let's hope not. Yeah, well, I mean, the comic book seems to be running pretty good, so they're doing their job. But yeah, that's interesting to see what we have here. Let's see. Matt Kindle did Four Lords and Bang. Acclaimed artist Alessandro Vito was Marvel's Secret Warriors. Colorist Bill Crabtree was PRPD. And letterer Clem Robbins was from Hellboy. So, I mean, it sounds like you got a good group there.
Yeah, you got a good group there. So, should be interesting. I'll check it out.
And let's see. It's advertised as The man only known as Berserker is a half-mortal, half-god, cursed and compelled to violence, even at the sacrifice of his sanity. So
he's John Wick as a demigod.
Basically, he's got a mystical past, and so, I mean, it'll be fun. I'm always looking forward to something new to read. I always like to read the first ones and see where it goes, especially a 12-issue miniseries shouldn't be too bad.
I'll check it out.
And my last one is... it's a short little one here. But Noah Centineo, I butchered that name, sorry folks, joins cast of Black Adam as Adam Smasher. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait for Black Adam. And the fact that they're bringing in Adam Smasher, I'm not too familiar with Black Adam's character and like any of his crossovers. I know recently he's been the ruler. He's been very Doctor Doom, that he's a ruler of a country and kind of basically watching over them and making sure nobody else screws with them.
Some kind of Egyptian country
very Middle Eastern. Yeah. So, I mean, because his origin is very Middle Eastern. So I'm not sure how Adam Smasher is going to be brought into him. I mean, he's normally, I thought he was normally like a Justice Society of America kind of character.
They've talked about the JSA appearing in this too.
Yeah.
Like Stargirl's been talked about. Hawkgirl's been talked about. So
yeah, there's a lot of, yeah, there has been I didn't want to bring it up because it really didn't come from a very good reliable source, but yeah, the casting of the JSA, the cast was like ridiculous. I'm like, yeah, no, that person did not sign up for that. So I didn't bring it in.
No.
But Adam Smasher was the one that came from a reliable source.
Adam Smasher. We saw Adam Smasher in season 2 of The Flash. And Adam Copeland played him.
Yep.
So I guess we're going to get the movie version. This guy and this kid was supposed to play He-Man too. If that movie was ever going to happen, I don't think that's going to happen now. Since he's going to be Adam Smasher. But
all right. Adam Smasher.
Okay.
So, but yeah, it'll be interesting. You're getting more news. That one's definitely still, like, they're still pushing forward with that, which is great. DC's not faltering. They've been planning this. This is one of those movies I was like, yeah, sure, you'll do that one. Black Adam, really? Okay. And yeah, they're pushing forward, and just it's a slow trudge. And I'm sure Dwayne The Rock Johnson has a pretty big busy schedule. So, but he's always posting things about it just randomly every once in a while. I'll think, okay, it's died down. I'll say he'll like reignite it.
Well, he's been cast as Black Adam for like 15 years now, so yeah, it's about time to start filming it.
Exactly. Might as well. All right. So you got anything else then? You're good, right?
I am good, man. I'm good.
All right. Did you have any reads this week that you wanted
to talk about? I had a couple reads, actually. I got this one here. I don't know if you checked it out. It's Snake Eyes Dead Game.
Yes, I did read that. Oh, you got that. You got that cover. Dude, they had about 30 variants on that thing.
There was ridiculous. I walked in the Acme. There was like, literally like 10 of them in each row. And I was like, just give me one.
It's the only one I thought that was kind of cool was his old card photo.
Yeah,
that one I thought was kind of cool.
I didn't see that one there.
If you go to the back of the book, you'll see the very last page is like 30 different variant covers. And like,
that was like the final like two pages of that comic book was that one.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. So what'd you think about it?
I liked it. I thought it was different. I mean, it basically was all about Snake Eyes and just sewed some stuff like at the beginning with this dead sword. That's the main thing. The dead sword by this mummy type creature, and he's fighting this Viking type guy with Mjolnir, and they hit each other. Then it goes to present day. Snake Eyes is on a mission, and I guess they're trying to rescue somebody, and they find out they rescue old General Joe Cole.
Yeah, that's the only moment I went, ugh, really? Can we just let that go, please?
I'm like, really?
Yeah.
I mean, it couldn't have been like, you know, Duke.
Yeah. Why'd it have to be Joe?
Why you gotta be Joe Cole? And why does Joe Cole look like Wolverine?
I don't know.
It's just a weird choice, but
it's very weird. I've every time, like, they went decades without mentioning Joe. They would like maybe like once in a while, you know, that's where we got our name from. But that would be it. But then they finally introduced him into the regular G.I. Joe storyline, and I'm like, no, don't do that.
Oh yeah, I don't. I just rather he just a name in the past. I don't want him to be introduced now. Now he's part of the team. It's just a little weird for me.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
just odd. But I kind of like the premise. I don't know where they're going with this mummy dude who looks like he's 8 feet tall.
You mean Fred Bug? That's what he looks like.
He does look like Fred Bug.
He looks like Fred Bug, but like the 80s comic book version. I was like, why are they bringing Fred Bug into this, man? What'd he do?
He does. Oh, my gosh. He does look like Fred. Now I'm not going to get that image out of my head.
You're welcome.
Fred Bug is going to be looking with a dead sword. So, I don't know where they're going with it, but I just like seeing Snake Eyes in his own solo thing. And you threw in a couple of the Joes in there. Roadblock is in there. I think Tripwire's in there. And you got the Scarlet's in there. So.
Yeah, of course. You got to. Yeah, anytime you got Snake Eyes rolling around, Scarlet and Temper got to be right there.
Of course.
I enjoyed it too. Yeah, I was looking forward to it because I had read that like about a month ago that they were going to be doing it. Rob Liefeld's doing it, our old school image writer. So, of course, he's still big on writing and drawing, so he's a big part of it. I never got a chance to see if Rob ever did anything more in G.I. Joe, so I'm gonna have to look into that. I've been hit or miss in the IDW G.I. Joe runs. Some I've picked up on, some I haven't, and I don't know exactly who's writing what because there's so many different volumes and there's so many different G.I. Joe stories happening within that, so I'm never too sure which one I'm looking at. So, but yeah, definitely a big, good pickup.
It's a solid pickup. It's well drawn too. Story's pretty fast. So, and now that I'm, you got me hooked now. So now I want to see where it's going to go with this, with Fred Bug and, looking for his sword. So,
yes, definitely. Let's see, which one did I pick up this week? Actually, I had a couple I read this week. And, that was what it was. Magneto. Giant size X-Men Magneto. This is another story with the X-Men with Hickman continuing that story, taking that Magneto character and expanding it out. We get introduced to Namor in this one, which I thought was pretty cool. I was trying to think back in the Sons of the original X-Men story that started last year with Hickman, and if Namor was ever brought in. I know we've had Fantastic Four in there. I don't remember, and I just might have missed a couple of books because there's one title I'm just not all into. It just doesn't do it for me. So I don't know if maybe he was introduced there, but they were like old friends when they ran into each other. And I like the look of Namor. They've tweaked everybody a little bit different. And it basically takes Namor and Magneto go to the bottom of the ocean. Namor has an island that Magneto wants because... one of the council, the White Witch or White Queen, sorry, wants the island for something. We don't know yet what that is. So Namor's like, well, yeah, I'll give you the island, but you got to come with me and help me figure something out. I had a group of soldiers go off and like look for something, and they never came back. and it's just about their little venture down in the ocean, which is, again, like, it's pretty cool to see that. There are a few, there was something in it that threw me off at the beginning of the book. The White Queen, Emma Frost is who Emma I refer Frost. To. Yeah. But Magneto and her are sitting having dinner together. Nothing romantic, just having dinner. And she wants a refill on the wine or champagne they're drinking. And he picks it up magnetically. And I'm like, wait, there's no magnets in glass or champagne. So it like threw me off. I'm like, how is he able to pick that up? So I don't know if I've missed something else in X-Men, but it's been, again, of course, you know, we're dealing with quarantine. So there's been that long, that 3-4 month gap now of that. I haven't read these characters, you know, I stopped reading those characters and then just, I went to old books.
That's what I did. Yeah. And that's,
yeah. So
I got lost, you know, when that whole Batman Superman thing was happening and then it went to like, You're the Villain. And then all of a sudden I'm in metal. I'm like, okay, what happened in between? Like I missed that whole middle area. I'm like, okay, we went from here to there, and I'm like, what happened here?
Yeah, exactly. So
I'm with you on that.
Yeah. So I think I just got to kind of redo a quick scan of the books again just to maybe get caught up, and maybe I just missed something. But definitely you want to check out the Giant X-Men Magneto number one. It's called Giant X-Men, but guys, it's 32 pages. Most comic books are about 25, so it's not giant. It's just a couple extra pages. And again, but it sticks to the style of Hickman. You know, you have your little letters that are at the beginning about what's happening. Sometimes you have interpersonal emails going back and forth, which I think are kind of cool because it gives you a little bit more of that, of what's going on behind their scenes and in their minds. You know, I still go back to the one of the first ones where Kitty Pryde was doing, you know, basically getting supplies for everybody, and Logan had his own special list. And it was, you could literally see the list of what he asked for, you know, in his handwriting, which I thought was really cool.
That's nice. Yeah, I saw that page. I think he showed me that.
So what else you got there?
Oh, you know what I got.
It's probably the same one I got.
I think you definitely have to do a soundbite for this. I picked up Metal number 2. That's right. Man. That's right. We got Dark Knights, Death Metal issue 2.
Yep.
First issue, you guys read it. The Batman Who Laughs is dead. Or is he?
No,
he's not dead. He actually, his mind got transferred into the body of Dr. Manhattan. Now he's this totally omnipresent, powerful being. Basically, the whole premise of the comic, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Wonder Woman has an idea to stop Perpetua from destroying all the multiverses and all the worlds in the world. And what is that? She wants to go back to the past. That's why she's trying to get Wally West's speed up to a point where he can do this. To go back to all the past crisis events to get this crisis energy to use it to stop Perpetua and recreate the universe from there. Now, you got me with going back to all the past crises. If they do it well, that's kind of cool. You're going back to Infinite Crisis, Final Crisis. There's so many crises. This is ridiculous. I think, the Endgame Crisis? I don't know. Zaius Crisis. They're going to go through that too as well. So, but I like the artwork. I kind of dig Wonder Woman with the blue little tip hair. That's kind of cool. You see another version of a Dark Knight Metal Batman. He's like a Batmobile, but he talks. It's kind of like Knight Rider, which is kind of strange. And then you see another one. It's kind of like a T-Rex, and he talks.
Yeah, the T-Rex one. I was like, what the fuck is that?
I'm like, what the hell? And then you get the birth of the Robin King, I guess, is going to happen in this one. So
yeah, I thought it was going to happen, but it didn't happen. And we just see that there's one Robin left over, and he's like, oh, I guess you're going to be the dude. Come on.
I was like, oh, just show it now.
Yeah, I know. Why are we showing him walking away and not seeing it? I was really kind of upset.
And then the Batman Who Laughs morphs into something else, Dark Death Metal. I don't know what the hell he is. Some kind of demon now, but
yeah.
Whatever. So that's issue 2. Looks good. It's still crazy and insane, and we go forward. So I don't know if you checked it out yet.
But. Oh no, I read it when the day it came out. Yeah, because I've actually been keeping up with these, and I just wasn't all that oof on it again because I'm still having the same issues I've been having with the others. Just the storyline's just too kind of out there. Like I said, the one you were talking about, and we sort of already kind of discussed this last night, was the whole thing of putting his brain into Dr. Manhattan. I was just like, what? Why are you trying to make him more powerful? He's already powerful enough, or was powerful enough. You could have had him come back into some other way, but transferring, it's just like one ups. It seems like they're literally going, okay, I'm going to one up you now. Then I'm going to make him more powerful. I'm more powerful. I'm like, that's what, that was one of the boredom things of Superman. He got too powerful. Mm-hmm. There was literally a run in the 90s of Superman where he got so powerful, he became this behemoth of just nothing but muscle. It was post, you know, it was after he came back from the dead, and like his cells were so oversaturated that his body was just like taking all this power in, and it just became too much. And then that's when they depowered him for, you know, for the late 90s and then the 2000s. And then of course he does his huge power, and then they drop him down to where he you know, magic and kryptonite are the only thing that can stop him. And then, you know, then yeah, it changes.
I keep thinking of the version of that where they called him what, Superman 1,000,000, where he absorbed all these suns and he's like an
That was a future one. That was where what he did is Lois died, and everybody he knew was dead. All the superheroes he knew were gone, and he's like, I have nothing left here, but I know he built a fortress of solitude in the sun. So he just went there. And then the rest of the superhero communities just took off. His bloodline that one chart from Ideology where you see the chart of genealogy going through, as you know, one person has, you know, a, you know, 50, 60, hundreds of, you know, descendants. Well, that's what happened with Superman. They all still had a super gene in him. So the world was sort of taken over by super genetics and superheroes all in general. They had a Batman that lived on Pluto, you know, because that was the prison world moon now.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Yeah. Pluto? Yeah.
You gotta send me that link to that. I haven't read that one.
Oh, no, dude. Yeah. You got to read the 1,000,000 one. But yeah, that's. And then at the end of the 1,000,000, Superman came back with Lois, who was a metal woman, not metal men. She was a metal woman now. Mm. And then there was peace. At the end, it wasn't that he was super powered. He was just, that was a time of peace that he was coming back. And that was the whole point, is they wanted the Justice League from the 90s to be there when he returned so he could see his old friends.
So that was
the whole kind of runabout.
Wow, that's actually a pretty good story. I'm shocked I've never read it.
I can't believe you never read 1,000,000. Some of the stuff's really cool. Like
now you kind of just sold me on that one. Like, wow, I've never read that
that's
one.
It's a long.
I know the character, but I've just never read that book. But
yeah, it's a long run. But you know, the Batman is not Bruce Wayne. It's not a descendant or anything. He's just the warden of this like psychotic planet, Pluto, and there's all these criminals, and his companion is a robotic boy wonder, Robin, but yeah, he's like really like over the top like looking Batman. It's like really cool. And then everybody else has their own little thing going on, but that was my thing with the Dark Knight. Was I just felt like it seems like they're just starting to one up some and get more powerful.
And you're gonna hear me say this now, because I like the Batman Who Laughs. I don't like where they're going with this Batman Who Laughs, who's a god now. It just takes away from the Batman Who Laughs now. Now he's basically Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah, pretty much.
He's evil, and he's evil. I'm like, I don't know about that.
Yeah, and then it just feels like you're gonna, you know.
Yeah, you gotta depower him, man. You can't make him too powerful. Yeah. Just
do that, and it's
shit on me.
Pretty much, yeah. That's what I feel. What you got?
The last one I read. Well, I read a couple. This is probably the least of the offensive ones I read. Was Nightwing number 72. Nightwing has been going through, he's still dealing with the fact that he's lost his memory, got a shot in the head, got amnesia, didn't remember being Dick Grayson, didn't remember Bruce Wayne. They even showed him the Batcave, showed him his costume, Robin, Nightwing, everything. And he's like, I don't know who you guys are. Gets a psychiatrist. We come to find out later that she's working for the Court of Owls and basically is taking over his brain to make him a Talon. And then he breaks himself away from that. And it basically comes to, you know, he just decides, you know, I'm done with this. I'm going to be my own person. Becomes Rick Grayson, gets a job as a bartender working in Bloodhaven. And then all of a sudden, these other Nightwings start popping up around the town. And he's like, I'm just trying to know, it's not me. And the last issue that we had is as he's decided to take up a different moniker and become a superhero, a little bit more colorful. Still sort of the same design, but more like a red mask instead of a black and blue. We saw was the Joker came around and found him in the Joker. And this is supposed to be one of the prequels you were talking last night about, the Joker War. That's the number 71 for Nightwing was supposed to be a prequel to the Joker War, and I think this is also, and he basically, Joker gets a crystal that the psychiatrist was using that was working for the Court of Owls that she used on Dick to like take his mind over. He gets a hold of the same crystal, and we don't know at first if his mind's been taken over, but we eventually find out it was. And it's really this issue is more about Barbara and her getting to Bloodhaven, meeting Dick's new girlfriend, because his girlfriend's the one that's like trying to reach out to somebody. She like she does the crow. She makes a bat symbol out of lighter fluid and lights it on the ground. Oh, so she's like, oh, well, you showed up. And Barbara literally shows up as a human, like in her regular civilian clothes. And she's like, well, you're not who I wanted. And she's like, well, you must know Dick. And she's like, I know who he is. And she's like, then you know what I can do. And she's like, yeah, but I was hoping for somebody else. She's like, not happening. And so then they find out. And then basically we get introduced to Punchline, Joker's new second class Harley Quinn. The Kmart of Harley Quinn's, and that's where we kind of.
I like how you put that, by the way. Well said.
Well, she is. I mean,
she's a second rate Harley. She's another version of Harley Quinn.
That's Batgirl makes the comment that you're a second rate Harley Quinn, and something about Harley wouldn't even waste the time of wiping your blood off her clothes or something. Like, Barbara even gets a little jab at her. I'm like, ooh, man.
Ouch,
I guess the Bat family's a little bit more partial to Harley than they are this one.
I guess so. Well, isn't Harley working with Batman now?
Depends on which version you're looking at.
I think one of them she is, like, they're going after the, I don't know.
Well, there's the one I was raving about all last year, and then earlier this year, the White Knight series. There, her and Bruce are a couple, but they have feelings for each other. But he's too involved in the war, but he wants to make sure that she's safe, her child's mm-hmm. safe. He's taking care of her in that aspect. And, you know, there is a little tension, but he's like, I just, you know, my rule is, or my mind and my life has to be about this. I've got you though. You know, it's because her son, her kid was this, the kid of the Joker. So, but again, like I said, it depends. There's so many, there's one of the biggest complaints I've had recently was there's too many Batmans, too many Spider-Man books out there. I don't know which book, when you pick up Spider-Man or Batman book, you don't know what book you're picking up or what continuity you're picking up. And you just, mm-hmm. you just don't know, because you could pick up one Batman here and then pick up another one, you know, two books over. It's been released, you know, within a weeks apart, and they're two different storylines. Like if you picked up a Batman of, was it Grave?
Yeah,
you know, if you pick that up and then you pick up the Dark Knight, you're not going to know. That's two different stories. So
yeah, two different stories, and even Metal, that's not even connected too.
Yeah, so that's what I meant when I didn't mean Dark Knight. I meant that meant Metal. Yeah, I mean, it's just too many out there, and I think people just are going to get lost. And I think a lot of it needs to get just drilled down to just one Batman in the DC continuity, regular, and then maybe one in just the Black Label, and just
yeah.
have them. And I think Black Label's great for the one-off.
Black Label's all right. Black Label's okay.
Well, Black Label will work for their more one-off shots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just do those strange four issues that have nothing to do with any continuity, but it's tagged, you know, on the cover, this is Black Label. This is nothing to do with regular DC.
Mm-hmm.
I think they just need to get back to that, because it just, even me as a hardcore fan of the books and a reader, and I understand the crossovers and different continuities, even me, I get a little, I'm like, man, where are we at now?
It can be a little trying. Yeah,
I know you're talked about you had your old man moment with the Transformers. I'm gonna have my old man moment with comic books. You know, back in the 90s when I was reading, a Batman had four books, and all four books were in the same universe, followed the same story. You just had different artists and different writers telling it, so it would just still be in the same continuity. You knew that from Batman to Dark Knight, you were in the same story. Just somebody else is telling that issue of that story.
So basically, Batman needs a crisis event. Yep.
Everybody needs
to merge everything together.
Unfortunately, in this day and age, everybody needs a crisis right now. Let's clean house. All right, well, that's the last one I have.
I have one more.
Uh-huh.
And I gotta say, it's it's Empire. This one.
Oh, is that which one's that? Go down. Is that the okay.
See it?
Oh, yeah. The Captain Marvel. Okay. I read the Fantastic Four one. I didn't get a
I tell you what, I was three pages in and I stopped reading it.
You felt I did the same thing with
I just the beginning with the whole Kree thing, and they're in this weird forest with plant people. I'm like, what is this? and I stopped.
Yeah.
I didn't even finish it.
The Fantastic Four was very similar. They were on a Kree planet, I think, and they were watching, like, in a arena watching a battle. I was like, what is this going?
It's to me, I don't know where it's going, and I didn't even finish it.
Yeah.
I just didn't like it.
I like the art. I mean, I just one thing.
The art's great.
It's like it draws. That's great. The art keeps drawing me back to it. I keep reading, trying to finish reading that book. I've done it like three times because the art just pulls me in. I'm like, man, it's great art. But what's going on?
It's just I didn't finish it. So, yeah. But any of you guys finished reading that book, let me know because I didn't.
Yeah,
I mean, stopped after four pages. I'm like, no, I'm done.
I tried the Empire prequel one they had like a month ago. I guess it was like a bunch of the hints of what was going to be happening. But even that, I was kind of like a little lost on. So,
yeah, it's not because I hate Marvel. I don't hate Marvel. It just the story didn't get me in there. Just if it had cool characters, I probably kept reading it. But it's just like nobody.
Nothing happened. Yeah, it was
nothing happening.
Same.
Maybe you have to give it another chance or finish the book. I don't know. But
maybe. Just maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I got nothing going on tonight. Maybe I'll attempt to finish. Get to page 5.
Okay. All right, guys. Well. That is it for the Heroes Asylum. We want to thank you guys for listening, downloading, subscribing, checking out us out on YouTube if you did find us here. Make sure you guys do check us out on heroesasylum.com. It is a ever-growing website, but you're going to get the most out of life in going and visiting us at the Heroes Asylum Facebook page, which you can find links for that there. And you can find links to all of our social media at streamerslinks.com/heroes_asylum.com, or you can listen to Kane.
Twitter at the Heroes Asylum Podcast. Check us out there and on with Instagram. We always got some cool stuff posting up there. Facebook page, Heroes Asylum and the Heroes Asylum Podcast. You guys are making the page grow. And also, another shout and plug to Midnight Movies. Guys, check out the Midnight Movie page as well. It's me and the captain. Sometimes we'll have a guest, sometimes we won't, but usually we'll just sit down there, watch a couple movies, have a couple cocktails, have a couple laughs. Here's another secret.
Yeah, and make sure you guys check out the Heroes Asylum Facebook page because that's when we do release any Midnight Movies. You'll see the links there, so you'll get everything
there.
They'll
be there. Check them out. And as always, from the captain, me to you, get to the asylum, kids.